Well, during the last hour of Issues Etc. today, we're going to be talking about an ABC News Nightline story. They did this story, very interesting, on searching for a manly Jesus. This is a subject we have visited many times here on Issues Etc. And I was listening to this Nightline feature, thinking to myself, okay, it sounds a lot like Promise Keepers. It sounds a lot like the old drum circle they used to get for the men when, remember back in the 80s when men weren't manly enough? They were too sensitive, so they sat around and ate red meat and pounded on drums in their drum circle. It sounded like all of that. So I'm wondering to myself, what is missing here? We're going to let you listen to this piece on searching for a manly Jesus from ABC News Nightline. And I want to know from you, what is missing here that ought to be here? Is this really the solution for the fact that men don't go to church, the fact that fewer and fewer men go to church, for the fact that most men look at the church as emasculated? Not necessarily feminine, but definitely emasculated. It's audio open lines. Our call-in number is 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. My question for you after we listen to this is this the solution, or is there something still missing? If so, what in the world is it? Your general reaction to it comes from ABC News Nightline. It's a feature titled Searching for a Manly Jesus.
Today, a look at a group of Christian men who believe that Jesus was tough as well as tender, less meek and mild, more masculine. It's a very different take on the Sunday service. Nightline's John Donvan reports from Franklin, Tennessee, on the Godmen.
At a Tennessee shopping mall the other day, across from the dress shop, just past the ice cream counter, and down this corridor behind the black doors, nearly 300 Christian men, and only men, paid $68 each in order to be Godmen, or as one guy there put it, to cowboy up as followers of Jesus. Which took them in the course of their 6 hours together to some interesting guy places. They watched some goofy videos of sports screw-ups, and they laughed together. They watched a guy bend wrenches with his bare hands, and they were wowed together.
There it is.
They listened to a stand-up comic who has an edge.
I hate political correctness, and my goal, my legacy, is I want to watch it die in my lifetime.
And they love the punchline.
But first, I want to watch it suffer.
But mostly they were there to acknowledge that there are manlier ways to be Christian than the ways they learned growing up.
A meek and mild Jesus eventually is a bore.
And that there are some things you will never hear said in church.
Because who doesn't want to look at a naked lady?
Or with kids or women present, like what happens when a Christian man is hooked on pornography.
Because some of you are addicted. Some of you don't know where to go. You don't know what to do. So let's talk about it.
I'm listening to this thing. Last night, in fact, Jeff came into the office and he said, you got to download this ABC News Nightline thing on searching for a manly Jesus. And I'm trying to be careful because Paul Coughlin, you might have heard his voice in there. Paul Coughlin's been a regular guest on this program for years now. We used to talk to him about conspiracy theories, but lately one of his latest books called No More Christian Nice Guy, we've talked about his book and with him and about the book with you. So I'm trying to listen with as open a mind as I can because I've seen it come and I've seen it go. I saw Promise Keepers, men gathering in big stadiums. Who was it? Bill McCartney was the famous football coach, was the coach and giving inspiring talks. And they bring in other manly men to give inspiring talks. And they do kind of the same things. The drums, talking about cowboying up, sports blooper films, watching a guy bending wrenches with his bare hands, maybe a stand-up comic or two who had a more masculine edge to his comedy, and then talking about the kind of these same subjects, addiction to pornography. Of course, during the Promise Keepers days, those were the earlier days of the internet and the search engine, so that maybe internet pornography wasn't so, but they were still pornography. And they still talked about it. Kind of a masculine version of grown-up youth group, where you boil everything down to the problem that men don't get enough of what they like or what they need out of church. So I'd seen this coming, I'd seen it go, and trying not to be overly skeptical, but I'm seeing the drums, the sports bloopers, the wrench-bending contests. I would like to see that, by the way, someone bend a wrench with their kind of put craftsmen to shame. A stand-up comic who's talking to men. A man's comic. And then revisiting the what appears to be the only area of sin that men suffer from nowadays, which is addiction to pornography and thinking a lot about naked ladies. Now, believe me, I'm well acquainted with the lust of the eyes. Don't get me wrong, but it's not my only sin. And I'm asking myself this question. How is this any different? How is this any different? I want to know from you, do you think the church has become emasculated? If so, is the answer bringing men together for 6 hours so they can watch sports bloopers, feats of strength, and laugh at Christian comedians who've got a little bit of an edge to them? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Paul Coughlin is right when he diagnoses one of the symptoms. A feminized Jesus eventually is a bore. He gave us one of the very best lines we've ever had here on Issues, etc. That what modern evangelicalism has done is reduced Jesus to the bearded woman. That's Paul Coughlin's line straight out of his book. No More Christian Nice Guys. Yes, I think it is. So they're diagnosing the symptoms fairly well. Let's listen to some more. This is from ABC News Nightline.
And that's what these Christian men did, although we cannot show you all of it.
They've just finished a part of the session for which we were asked to take the cameras out, but I was allowed to stay in. They wanted cameras out because they wanted the men to feel that they could have a frank and open discussion, and that's exactly what happened. A kind of conversation you would probably never see in a church or with women present. The men were talking very frankly about desiring women who are not their wives, talking about internet pornography, asking questions about homosexuality, a lot of it with male joking and joshing, but it helped the conversation move along. It is exactly what the founders had in mind when they set this thing up.
And one of those founders is Brad Stein, a stand-up comic.
People are actually going to tell me you shouldn't say Merry Christmas at Christmas time.
Known as a Christian conservative comedian who generally plays to a lot of church groups. But now, as we discussed in a restaurant at the mall where the Godmen were assembled, he's trying to take it past entertainment.
So you're still figuring it out?
We're still figuring it out. Something new is happening, and we feel like maybe it's the next page. In men connecting to God in a way that has been lost.
Lost, he says, because Sunday church is too straight-laced, boring, and disconnected from what really makes a man tick.
We felt like maybe if laymen run this, we have nothing to lose.
Right.
We don't have any church to lose. We don't have any congregation we have to answer to. We're just guys trying to be straight and being real.
If Jesus were to appear today...
One of the day's first speakers is Paul Coughlin, author of a book called No More Christian Nice Guy. He argues that the image of Jesus most Americans grow up with is too passive. He calls him a bearded lady.
We just, unfortunately, within the church, in many cases, many times, we only emphasize the tender stuff. We cut out the tough stuff about Jesus, and that's awfully unfortunate because the tender stuff doesn't work without the tough stuff. You cannot love without courage.
Stop him!
What Jesus, then, are the Godmen talking about? Well, most often they point to the Jesus who whipped the money changers at the temple in Zeffirelli's Jesus of Nazareth. That's the kind of Christ, robust and strong, the Godmen say has been downplayed far too often.
But what about turn the other cheek,
yeah.
Central message?
Absolutely.
What about blessed are the meek?
Yeah.
What do you do with that part of the lesson?
Well, meekness is important as well. Meekness is a virtue, And meekness can be a vice depending on the situation.
So I want to encourage you to be good instead of nice. But know that you're going to make enemies in the process. But the good thing is, Jesus never said we couldn't have any enemies. He just said to pray for them.
It's a distinctly different message from the standard one, and during the lunch break, I talked with some of the attendees about why they were attracted to this.
Before he gets to the attendee comments, which are very interesting in and of themselves, you really want to listen to these carefully. Let me say again, I think Coughlin is onto something. There's no doubt about it. But is this just a matter of shifting the emphasis from one aspect of Jesus' character to a different aspect of Jesus' character? Or regaining a more balanced picture of Jesus? Is that the problem? Let's distinguish symptoms from problems. Is the problem that we've only emphasized certain aspects of Jesus' character, and we need to get the well-rounded picture of Jesus that the New Testament gives us? Or is that just a symptom of a bigger problem? And if so, what is it? I want to hear from you. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Are these guys on the right track? I want to hear from both men and women on this issue. I remember when Promise Keepers was big, women would call this program. I was not hosting it at the time, but I remember listening. Women calling this program, telling the previous host, Don Matzett, I don't care about if Promise Keepers is true, false. I don't care if it's unchristian. All I know is my husband's a better husband now. That's all I know, and that's all I care about. So I do want to hear from you women. If your man comes home from a God-man conference and he's a better father, does it matter to you whether or not it really got to the root of the problem or is just treating the symptoms of the problem? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We have a few more minutes of that ABC News Nightline audio to play for you, the reaction of the men who were there at the Godman Conference. This weekend, my wife and I sat down and watched a movie together, which we very seldom do because our tastes in movies are very different. But we found one that we thought we could watch together, at least she could tolerate while I watched it, Casino Royale. Jeffy, have you seen this movie, Casino Royale, the 007 movie? Come on. The blonde Bond? The new Bond?
David Craig.
Yeah, David Craig. You haven't seen it. All right. I'm starting to doubt you at this very point. The last movie I think Jeff said he went to, what was it, A Walk to Remember, one of those movies you went to see? What was the last movie you told me you went to see? You recommended it so highly.
It was Drew Barrymore.
Yes, a chick flick. My wife and my daughter laughed when I told them that you liked that movie. I know. I got nothing against Drew Barrymore or that British guy that she acts with.
Are you calling me a sissy? Is that
what you're doing? Yes, exactly. Well, so this weekend, my wife and I rent Casino Royale, which had I known it was going to be a 12-hour movie, I probably would not have rented it, but it's a Bond movie. It's a man's movie. These movies have been made in the past to be men's movies. A little corny, lots of women walking around scantily clad, some fighting, some gizmos and gadgets. Oh, by the way, I don't want to spoil the movie for anybody, but he's got the coolest car any Bond has ever had, and he wrecks it the first time he takes it out on the road. Not just wrecks it completely the first time he takes it out on the road. Anyway, we're watching this movie, and I was observing something while watching the movie. Men can do that. They can actually do two things at once. I was observing my wife's reactions to various parts of this movie as opposed to my reactions. The parts where I was laughing and saying, now that was just so cool, I can't believe it. Those were the parts where my wife was kind of hunkered down in the chair with her hands over her eyes. When something's about to explode or someone's about to get it or someone's getting the snot beat out of them by the blonde Bond, I'm eating it up. And my wife is just waiting until that part is over so they can get back to the dialogue. Now, my wife and I are not stereotypes. I'm a very sensitive guy. I don't think stereotypes do anyone any good. But in observing this difference between us watching this movie, I was thinking to myself, there's no doubt about it. There's a difference between men and women that is measurable in almost every aspect of life. So is the goal of the church to somehow psychologize women, psychologize men, and then craft the message so that it appeals to both? And if you can't appeal to both at the same time, get the women all together for their message and get the men all together for their message, like God men. We're hearing this story from ABC News Nightline on an attempt to find a more manly Jesus. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or email us issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's go first to Jeff, who calls from his car. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Todd. I think that they've got a really good idea if you're going to appeal to the human nature and the sinful nature of man. Why not get them together? But if you're going to talk about Jesus and who he is and what he's done, it's the same for all people, male or female.
Thank you very much, Jeff. All right, Jeff is on to something there. What about the rest of you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. In town and country, here's Ron. Hi, Ron.
Yeah, I think the previous caller was pretty close to what I was thinking. It's seeker-sensitive, I think, something look to just make you feel good or feel part of the group, wanting to do it my way, not the way it was designed to be. Am I making sense at all?
Yeah, I think you're making a lot of sense, Ron. So the danger here, both of the callers so far are saying, look, they're focusing on what men want, what men think they need, what men want to talk about, rather than on something more objective. And to pick up on what Jeff said in the first call, something that all of us need to hear, as opposed to just what the men need to hear, and then we'll shoo the men out of the room so that the women can come in and hear what they need to hear. Okay, back to the phones. Steve calls from his car. Hi, Steve.
You know, I'm not kind of going the same vein that they're going, because I think they're onto something. Let me kind of walk you through a couple of points. First of all, the kind of making Jesus into male or female is the normal progression of what a lot of these evangelical churches are doing, because they don't preach Christ crucified. They preach Christ for you. Not Christ crucified for you, just Christ for you. And then they tailor that to an audience. So it's a marketing driven. And I think the problem starts actually further back. It starts at the way their churches are preaching Christ or not preaching Christ. Because they're not preaching Christ as a Savior for you, because if you have Christ preached for you, you're going to see both the masculine, the strong Jesus on the cross for our sins, but also the compassionate Jesus in the gospel. And when you don't give them both sides of Jesus, you're going to end up with the total confusion that they're dealing with right now.
All right, I think you're getting close, Steve. I appreciate that idea. Now, I think Steve's saying more than just they need a balanced view of Jesus. But let's continue to explore this. Remember, there's a difference between symptoms and root problems. And I have no doubt that Coughlin and the others involved in the Godmen movement have fairly rightly described the symptoms. But do you think that they've actually started to deal with the problem of men not coming to church, men not finding anything relevant at church? What's the real problem here? Do you think that Pop American Christianity has become emasculated? Is it sufficient to exchange one take on Jesus for another take on Jesus and say, here's the problem, people have made Jesus to be too nice, now let's talk about Jesus being less nice, and then somehow we're going to strike a balance in between? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Roger calls from his car. Hi, Roger.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm fine.
You know, my take on this is that maybe the issue here is that they have a distorted view of the masculinity issue. Jesus being the perfect man, his masculinity was perfect in every way. And I don't think Jesus dealt with the lust after women or things like that. But he did have those perfect masculine qualities, like providing for his children, sacrificing himself for those he loved.
I haven't talked with Coughlin, at least in that case. I don't think that he would disagree with you at all in any respect whatsoever. I don't think Coughlin would buy into this notion of kind of the machismo, go-go cowboy Jesus kind of a thing.
Right. So, but I guess what I'm trying to say is, if we focus on those masculine qualities that are noble, I know I'm a provider for my family, and nothing makes me feel more like a man in that sense, or more masculine, than when I can provide my family with food and sustenance and shelter and protect them. Well, Jesus does those things for us. Those are the masculine qualities that I think that the church emphasizes more, like the Missouri Lutherans do. Then that's the kind of recapturing that masculine quality that in some sense has been lost in evangelical circles.
Roger, thank you very much. Now, Roger said something there. I don't know if he intended to say it, but he said, what Jesus does. I'm wondering, as we're talking about Jesus driving out the money changers and growing angry with his opponents or displaying a flash of anger here or there, kind of, is that what the stuff that Jesus does that's being lost in the shuffle here? I was recently, this was actually about a year ago, I was out with Mike Horton and his crew doing the White Horse Inn, and we had a show on the feminization of the church, and they interviewed a guy who had written a book called Why Men Hate Church. And I remember Horton asking this guy in the course of the interview, what do you think the solution is, or something along those lines? And the guy said, well, you know, we need to think about what men like and then customize the church experience toward that. And his solution was, men like sports. Let's have a sports theme. I think he even suggested, men like football. Let's have a football theme on Sunday morning to attract the men. And I thought to myself, this is going to be, you'll get them in the door. But is this what men need? Is this what Jesus died for? Dee calls from her car. Hi, Dee.
Yeah, I could really be wrong, but the clips that I heard, I didn't hear the gospel. And I think that's at the root of the problem. This is, you know, just more human-centered anthropology than it would be the gospel. And that's the problem.
Thank you, Dee. All right, hang on to that one, folks. There's a little more to it, but I think you're right. Hang on to that. I don't think you're wrong at all, Dee. In fact, I think you're on the right track. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls, and then we'll hear the remainder of the ABC News Nightline feature titled Searching for a Manly Jesus. The latter part of it is men during the lunch hour kind of reacting to what they've been learning at the God Men event. The drumming, the sports bloopers, the wrench bending, the stand-up comic, and the conversation about internet pornography. We'll be right back.
For sinners only, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Are you thinking about a gift for your kids or your grandkids for the Easter season? Well, think about our Issues, Etc. book of the month for March, called Easter is for Me. It's a children's book set in rhyme and verse. It tells the story of Jesus' death and resurrection for sinners. It's the Easter story. You can find Easter is for Me at either of the two Concordia Publishing House bookstores in the St. Louis area. One is on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. The other is at 3558 South Jefferson in the city. When you visit, ask for Easter is for Me, the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March. Those two locations, 3558 South Jefferson in the city, or on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. It's the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March, called Easter is for Me. Or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org.
Creation. Is there room for differing views?
Answers with Ken Ham, a well-known speaker on the authority of the Bible from the very first verse. Ken, you get asked this question all the time. Why can't Christians choose what they want to believe about creation and evolution?
Well, it's a fair question, Mark, and the answer depends on your attitude towards Scripture. You see, I believe the days of creation were six literal 24-hour days, but the majority of Christian leaders disagree. So are our differences just a matter of opinion? Well, I found that the main reason for their disagreement with me has nothing to do with their interpretation of the Bible, but everything to do with the opinions of man. Well, what do I mean by that? See, people constantly tell me that the days of creation can't be literal days because scientists have proved supposedly that the Earth's billions of years old. Actually, they haven't shown that at all. You see, dating methods require all sorts of assumptions that are made by fallible scientists who weren't there at the beginning. So here's my question. Why are Christians so quick to accept the opinions of men who weren't there and who reject God's word instead of accepting the word of God who knows everything and who was there at the beginning? If we take God at his word, there's no room for differing views. God created in six 24-hour days.
Ken has written a lot on this topic of the days of creation. Much of it's been summarized in a short booklet entitled The 6 Days of Creation. It's free at our website, answersradio.com.
At AM 850 KFUO, we often receive emails like that recently received by Pastor Mark Hawkinson, host of Jubilation. Ruth Ann writes, I'd love to listen to you on Sundays. You play both an awesome and unusual rendition of The God of Abram Praise. Can you tell me where I can get that version? I thought it was great. We're thankful for letters like these from our listeners. You'll find a page of addresses on our website at kfuo.org. Let us know how we can serve you at AM 850 KFUO.
During a recent conversation on the Tenth Commandment and coveting on our Bible study program, Pastor Todd Wilkin compared the poverty we all think we suffer to the poverty that Christ took upon himself on our behalf.
This is from Paul. Though he was rich for our sakes, he became poor, that, and here comes the odd thing for us Americans to hear, that through his poverty we might become rich. He might make us rich. He makes us rich, not through his riches, but through his poverty. He who is rich became poor for us so that through his poverty, the poverty of the cross, his life laid down for us, he might make us rich. Now, can you imagine heaven, Chuck, not desiring another thing?
I'm sorry, I cannot.
Biggest relief of heaven in terms of the 10th commandment will be complete satisfaction, complete contentment, content with Christ.
There is a storehouse of riches every weekday on the Bible study. Weekday mornings, 10:05.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. 25 minutes left in audio open lines in today's program. Let's go back to the phones, answering, well, getting your reaction to the ABC News Nightline feature titled Searching for a Manly Jesus. We still have a little bit of it to play, but first let's talk with Jonathan, who listens in Arnold. Hi, Jonathan.
Hello, sir. Comment, I'm just very tired of hearing how people try to make Jesus this or make Jesus that relevant to this person or that person. Are we trying to make up our own God here? What I want to know is how God wants to reveal himself to me. If there's a problem, it's a problem of spending time in the Bible and actually finding that.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. Now, I agree with him. One caveat, though. Yes, the answer is going to Scripture and seeing what does God want to say about himself rather than what do we say about him. This is a misunderstanding of theology. Theology is not man's ideas or words about God. Theology is God's thoughts and ideas about himself. It is self-revelation of God. Theology isn't a human enterprise. It is first and foremost what God does. God is the one who talks about himself, who reveals himself. But you can read the Bible in any number of different ways, can't you? I was talking recently with a group, and I raised the fact that you can read the Bible, if you want to, as a diet book. Among his other exploits, before he was caught with the male prostitute, Ted Haggard was publishing a book and selling it on his website. Ted Haggard, the former president of the National Association of Evangelicals, Ted Haggard was publishing a book called something like the Bible Diet. I can't remember what it was called, but he claimed that he had found a diet in the Bible that was the best diet for Christians to follow. You can read the Bible like a diet book. You will profoundly miss the point of the book, but you can read it that way. It's a misreading. So just going back to the Bible in and of itself is not the answer. It is going back to the Bible the way the Bible intends to be read and interpreted. Here's Vince calling from his car. Hi, Vince.
Hi. This is the first time I've actually listened to your show, and I've really enjoyed it. Can you hear me still?
I can hear you great.
Okay, great. I was just calling in to say that, you know, I don't have a problem with looking at Jesus from different angles and everything, but when it comes to kind of getting to the root of the problem, I think that the problem really is something different than just how Jesus is viewed. I think it really is more an issue of what the community, the idea of community, means to people. Because if men are going to church just to kind of get something out of it, they're missing the point that community getting together is really about giving something to the community and giving something to God, and that more emphasis needs to be placed really on, well, what is it that I'm doing to be part of this community versus what am I getting from it myself?
Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. Vince, thank you. And thanks for listening. I hope you can continue to listen. While I share your concern that the community, the purpose of the community gathering as a community is not simply to go and say, what's in it for me? I share that concern. And people ought to approach, yes, even the church, thinking, how can I serve my neighbor here? I'm here not only for what Christ gives to me, but also here to serve my neighbor. That's a legitimate concern. With all due respect, I don't think that's the problem of this God-men movement. It's not a misunderstanding of community. I don't think many of the men would disagree that they're there to contribute something to this. That might be another symptom. Let's see what CJ in Louisiana has to say. Hi, CJ.
Oh, hi there. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. Well, you're saying, you know, the root problem is the same, whether it's male or female, is sin. And what did Jesus do for that in applying that to our individual lives?
CJ, thank you very much. All right. It took a while, but I think CJ, well, actually D was touching upon it a little bit earlier. So file that one away with D's comment where she says what's missing is the gospel. Now, what CJ has added to the diagnosis of the root problem, remember the difference between just treating the symptoms and treating the problem. If you go to the doctor and you say, doctor, I'm having trouble breathing, labored breathing. You listen to my chest. I'm wheezing. And I'm feverish and I feel weak. And he says to you, well, I got something for fever. It's called aspirin. And I got something for a wheezy chest. It's called a decongestant. And I got something for weakness. Here's a cup of coffee. Now, he has treated all your symptoms, hasn't he? But if you have pneumonia, if you have an infection in your lungs, and he has not diagnosed the root problem of all those symptoms, he's not much of a doctor, is he? Now, I've said this before. I think that this group has done a fairly accurate job of describing the symptoms. The question is the remedy that they're offering, kind of manning up Jesus and manning up men, is that treating the symptoms or the root problem? Andy calls from Kirkwood. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Todd. Jesus isn't different at any time. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And the problem, the root problem that needs to be solved is sin, and that's the same since the fall in Genesis 3. What we apparently are not doing a good job of is presenting the whole story of Jesus in the New Testament. There is, you know, we concentrate on his teachings, we concentrate on his miracles, his parables, but there is a tremendous conflict in the story, in the gospel, between him and those who become his enemies over a period of time. And that story is never told, and I think that is one that would be dramatically interesting to men and also would capture the imagination of women as well. But one of the root causes that men are feel antipathy, I suppose, toward coming to church is just the idea of that you have sins that need to be forgiven. That's not a manly thing.
Well, it's a very human thing, but you're right. You're right. It's not perceived as a manly thing. Andy, thank you very much. Well, I agree that the whole story of Jesus has not necessarily been told. And but you won't find any disagreement with the people who run in the Godmen events that somehow the whole story of Jesus hasn't been told. Jeff's doing it again. He's trying to move this microphone in the middle of the on-air presentation. And now you've got it caught on something. There we go. Just people who beg us for a webcam, don't. You'd be sadly embarrassed. You'd be turning off your monitors right now to see kind of the tangle of cords. This isn't good for cords, you know, Jeff, when they're tangled up this way just to yank on them. But anyway, yes, the whole story hasn't been told. But to talk about that conflict, Andy, to talk about the conflict that Jesus finds himself in, sooner or later, you're going to have to get to the end of the story, which is the cross. And along with what Dee said and what CJ added to it, maybe we're getting closer to what's really missing, the real root problem, with the problem of men in the church. Won't you kill Jeff's mic there, if you would? Thank you. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Is this just about shifting the emphasis from one aspect of Jesus' character or behavior to a different aspect of Jesus' character or behavior? I think not. I think the symptoms have been rightly described, but the root problem has yet to be diagnosed. Dave in Plymouth, Pennsylvania writes, "This kind of reminds me of your diagnosis of sermons. Supposedly, this program is about what it means to be a Christian man." He's talking about the God-man program. But where is Christ? The answer to being a Christian man is to look within oneself and discover that the power of the manly flesh. He says it's the WWJD man camp. What would Jesus do camp? Right. Is this about what would Jesus do? If people say, well, Jesus wasn't a husband. But let's talk about what Jesus would do if he were a husband. Now you're off into the realm of speculation. Jesus wasn't a father, but let's talk about what kind of father Jesus would have been had he been a father. Again, you're off into the realm of speculation. Now, Jesus was no businessman, but I'm a businessman. Let's talk about what Jesus would have done had he owned a small business like me. And you're speculating again. That was the root problem of the WWJD movement. What would Jesus do? It spent all its time talking about things that Jesus never did.
And I was taught, turn the other cheek, turn the other cheek, turn the other cheek. I ran out of cheeks, and I still had to keep turning. And so that's what I was taught. And now I stand up more for what I believe in. I'm not turning the other cheek. I upset somebody about it. I'm standing firm to it.
You know, I'm a regular, normal guy. I actually work on a church staff here in town. Okay, so I'm part of the culture of creating environments for men and women. But when I go see a movie like Braveheart, you know, there's something inside of me that goes, yes, I want to be out there fighting, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. It draws the warrior part of masculinity out of you.
Yeah.
And that's what we don't do very well at church.
I am a small groups pastor and a leader of my men's ministry at church.
So you are a pastor?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're a manly specimen of a pastor.
I hope to be, you know. This is how I go to church.
Is it really?
I wear my Crocs and blue jeans and T-shirts, and that's how I'm comfortable going. And if people are uncomfortable with me going to church like that, they can go find a church where they're more comfortable.
I got a comment on this, because I saw the video, and the guy is standing there in his Crocs and his blue jeans. So this is what it is to be a manly pastor. To dress at church like you would if you were out doing your yard work. There we go. It strikes me at this point, I got to only comment, how superficial this is. If this is all the more that these guys are getting out of it, I enjoy Braveheart. And I like wearing my Crocs and my blue jeans to church. And I don't turn the other cheek anymore. Still very superficial. If that's all you needed out of Jesus was an example of how to stand up for what you believe, dress how you want to dress, and enjoy the violence and the gore of Braveheart in a manly way. If that's all you needed, you don't need Jesus. Arnold Schwarzenegger will work, or choose your manly figure. I mentioned before the blonde Bond. There's a manly guy. If that's all you need Jesus for as an example of how to be a real man, then you don't need the Jesus of the New Testament.
Are there topics you can broach here that you wouldn't in church if there were women?
I'd say absolutely. There's been a few you've ever mentioned this morning. I'm not going to mention on camera, but yeah, we don't sit around the dinner table and talk about them, if that's what you mean.
Despite some complaints voiced here that feminism has gone too far, making society suspicious of male strength, even contemptuous of it, Stein was at pains to say over and over again that God, men, is not against women.
We believe that women are equal partners in our marriages, that they have equal control, that they need to help us with our families and give us wisdom that they have, but we believe that not at the sake of men finding out that sometimes we're more aggressive, that sometimes we have a sense of
competition,
taking the bull by the horns, that we do grow up liking to blow stuff up.
And so it went, 6 hours of guy talk and God talk, and then near the end, Brad Stein threw a curveball.
Michael Brewer.
To this mostly conservative crowd, when he introduced a man named Michael Brewer, who told this story.
At the age of 13, I realized I was gay, as I had sexual relations with other boys my age.
Gay, Brewer said, but also a Christian who considers gay sex wrong and is tormented by that fissure in himself. His story of shame, his story of being beaten and attacked, perhaps by men like those sitting right in front of him. It took so much courage that the crowd got the point after a day of talking about courage, and when Brewer finished, they stood up for him. And that was Godman, a Christian work in progress, definitely not church.
God bless you, brother.
I'm John Donvan for Nightline in Franklin, Tennessee.
I gotta agree with that, definitely not church. If this is the solution, and I have strong respect for some of the people involved in Godmen and their ideas and their description of the symptoms, but if this is what the church will offer to men, a manned-up version of Jesus, wear your Crocs and your blue jeans, stand up for what you believe in. Now, none of these things are necessarily wrong, but they're not the solution. It's like the doctor giving you a cup of coffee when your weakness stems from the fact that you've got pneumonia, or giving you a decongestant when your weakness stems from the fact that you've got pneumonia, or you're running a fever because you've got pneumonia, and he says, I've got a solution for fevers. It's called aspirin. And he treats the symptoms, but not the sickness. As I said at the beginning of this hour, I've seen it come and I've seen it go. I saw Promise Keepers come and say, you know, men aren't involved enough in church. The way to get men involved in church is to give them something to do. I remember a Lutheran pastor telling me that the real genius of Promise Keepers was that it wasn't satisfied with the Ten Commandments. Anybody can do the Ten Commandments, but men need a challenge above and beyond the Ten Commandments. It was a Lutheran pastor telling me this. Men need a challenge above and beyond just the Ten Commandments. Anybody can keep those. Men want a challenge. They want a mountain to climb. They want something that other people can't do, and go out and try it. And ergo, he thought this was a great idea, the Seven Commandments of a Promise Keeper. So the problem with men is that they needed more to do. They needed more commandments to keep than the average person, or than the women in the church. And what did we end up with? We end up with a generation of guys who thought they were keeping promises, who thought they already kept the Ten Commandments, but what they need to do is be real men and keep manly commandments. And they thought they kept them. Or if they didn't think they kept them, they thought the answer was, well, I need to be a man and just try harder. All right. In the last 10 minutes, I want to dedicate it to your phone calls. I have something more to say. Also to your email, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Reacting to last Friday's ABC News Nightline feature titled Searching for a Manly Jesus. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We're coming to you live this Monday, the 19th of March. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Here's Joe calling from his car. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Todd. I grow uncomfortable when we talk about men problems or women problems or teen problems or youth problems or anything like that. When we confess corporately we say, I a poor, miserable sinner. I don't say, I a poor, miserable man, or I a poor, miserable woman, or teen, or youth. And what we need to know is, how do we deal with Christian sinners, not Christian men or Christian women, Christian sinners. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Joe. All right. I think Joe has brought it together very nicely. I wrote an article sometime back called Churches for Girls, and I was talking about the emasculization of the church. But I was determined when I started that article to not simply talk about the symptoms. Any bozo can diagnose the symptoms. What is the real sickness, and what is its solution? Is the solution a church for men and a Jesus for men? That's not what the New Testament presents to us. The solution that Scripture has for the church and for each of us as individuals is a Jesus for sinners. If Jesus in the average pop American evangelical church is, say, a dance instructor, he's your ballroom dance instructor. He's nice. He's well-groomed. Women love him, probably because he's sexually non-threatening. He's graceful. He's charming. He's a little romantic, you know, especially with the music and the lights in the average American evangelical church. Hard not to fall in love with a guy like that when the soft pink lights are shining off of his golden locks. If Jesus is a dance instructor in many churches on Sunday morning, is the solution to trade out the dance instructor Jesus for the football coach Jesus? The guy with his baseball cap on backwards and maybe a little sweaty and rough around the edges and hasn't shaved in a couple days? Is that the solution, to trade a dance instructor for a football coach? Susanna writes in Indiana via email, are not these Godmen meetings just a masculinized variety of the too soft, tender, and emotional Jesus? These men get the testosterone fix in the Godmen meetings, while women get their emotions talked to during many a worship service. Though what a good worship service hits, all, whether male or female, hard, because the objective truth of the problem goes beyond any and all distinctions. Also, the objectivity of Scripture comes partly through the mind. Not that Jesus was not strong physically, but Scripture does not speak on that reality whatsoever. That's right. Jesus, the one thing Jesus didn't do is bend wrenches. You didn't see him saying, Son of Man, check it out, and then bend a wrench. No. She finishes up, Susanna in Indiana, this particular characteristic is simply outside of importance for his purpose of saving all people. Thank you, Susanna, and the others who are on the right track who called in or emailed this. Karen writes from Wyoming, I may be way off, but this whole thing sounds as if it were drummed up by a feminist. Just think, if men are off in their corner drumming their drums and drinking their beer, that leaves the women to do what they want to as well. Feminists everywhere are loving this. Masculine Jesus, feminine Jesus, doesn't matter. Karen says, it isn't Jesus. Keith in DeSoto says, I said, shrink, I want to kill. I mean, I wanna kill. I wanna see blood and gore and guts and veins in my teeth. Eat dead burnt bodies. I mean, kill, 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 kill. Lyrics from Alice's Restaurant, by the way. After we're all done being manly, all we can do is fall at the foot of the cross and plead, Lord, forgive me a sinner, writes Keith in DeSoto. What is missing? Are we going to trade Jesus as dance instructor for Jesus as football coach? Or Jesus as interior designer for Jesus as cowboy? How about let's just try the Jesus that Scripture gives us? Jesus as Savior. If all you have in Jesus is an instructor or a coach or an example, then he is going to get cut up and psychoanalyzed to fit what you think you ought to be. This is really just creating a Jesus, as one of our callers said. This is creating a Jesus in your image rather than, as we said before, good theology is letting God tell us who he is rather than we tell God who he ought to be. Rather than exchanging one coach, say, the girls' volleyball coach, for another, the men's football coach, how about let's just dispense with this notion of Jesus as coach altogether? Instead of saying, well, we've emphasized too much this one aspect of Jesus' character, we need to emphasize this other aspect of Jesus' character, let's stop worrying about Jesus' character and start talking about who he is and what he did. What is missing in all of this, as some of our callers pointed out, is a real diagnosis of the problem. The problem is, I don't need an example, and I don't need a coach, and I don't need a dance instructor, and I don't need an interior designer, and I don't need a cowboy. What I need is a savior from sin. I need a substitute. I don't need someone to come and show me what my life ought to look like. I need someone who can live a life in my stead that truly pleases God and lay down that life for me at the cross in a sacrifice that truly pleases God on my behalf. That's what we all need. Men, women, children, old people, young people. That's what we all need. As I said before, you can read the Bible any way you want to. You can read the Gospels any way you want to. You can read the Gospels to try and find Jesus the football coach, or try and find Jesus the cowboy, or Jesus the dance instructor. You can read it that way, but you're missing the point. I think the Gospels are abundantly clear that Jesus has one thing in mind that he intends to do for us. And it's not to act as our example or coach us through this life, but to be our substitute in his life, in his suffering, in his death, and in his resurrection. The root problem here is a loss of Jesus, the redemptive work of Jesus for sinners. If your only problem is that you don't know how to live or you don't know how to be enough of a man, all you need is a coach. But if your real problem, man, woman, or child, is sin and death, what you need and the only thing you need is a Savior. And that is exactly who Jesus is. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.